Hello, everyone. Welcome to One More Prime, the Transformers Watch Along. I am Mike Schwartz, a man who's wondering if he should re-record his anchor ad so we use their new name, Spotify for Podcasters. I am joined by my kids, Emmett and Elsa.
Hello.
Hi.
Who have been wondering where the aerial bots went. Well, wonder no more! We are watching War Dawn, episode 43 of season 2. Yes, this episode brings us back to the early days of the Great War and reveals the origins of Optimus Prime. I think this would be a good time for the three of us to focus on what's ahead of us. G1 cartoon continuity. Yes, there are many origins of the Transformers and of Optimus himself, whether he be a former police captain, an archivist, a gladiator, you can read up on that in your own time. I don't want to detract from War Dawn because it contains a pretty impressive display of continuity for an 80s cartoon and establishes a good chunk of lore that may pay off in later episodes? I honestly don't know. As I've said before, season 3 is a huge blind spot for me, so I had no idea where we're headed. Embrace the excitement. Anticipate the confusion.
Okay.
Hey, like what you're hearing? Send us an email at onemoreprimepod@gmail.com and we'll read your email on the show, if you want. Written by David Wise and airing on December 25th, 1985, Merry Christmas! This is War Dawn. Alright, we begin in the clouds. The Seekers are being chased by the aerial bots, who we haven't seen in quite some time, but kids, here they are.
Yay.
And they're chasing the Seekers because inside of the Seekers are half the world's leaders?
But, wait, what?
This is a story point that they just take and leave in this opening scene, but I think we should learn more about how Starscream and everybody stole. Did they like fly into the UN and just kind of gobble up everybody?
Like, were they? How the heck did that even happen? Like, how did they even get everyone?
How do they fit inside of three F-16s?
Yeah, there's so many countries in the world.
Yeah, but that's why this is only half.
Oh, of course,
half the world's leaders.
It's still a lot of people though.
But the aerial bots, they're not convinced that the humans are worth saving, which kind of goes back to their introduction, where they're kind of a little wishy-washy on guarding humanity, based on that TV show they watched, where the guy fell off a chair.
Well, you're not wrong.
But the aerial bots do take out Skywarp and Thundercracker, and in a last-ditch effort, Starscream, in his words, dumps the chumps. And the humans fall out and they go, ah! Yeah, that shot where they fly out, Starscream has to be huge. He's like a Jetfire size.
But like,
Skyfire.
None of these people are like recognizable. They look like just regular people.
Yeah, they're just in regular t-shirts and jeans. They're not in suits. So maybe, I don't know.
They just scooped up random people and thought, eh, Megatron won't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the humans were saved because they fall completely unharmed on the back of several jets, and then they're saved. They go back to the Ark, and even after that skirmish, the aerial bots still kind of admire the Seekers. Like, for heroes, I don't know, it takes a lot of convincing this episode.
I know.
They finally get to it, but...
They're like, you know what? Like, I don't really see what you have against Megatron. Like, he's... kind of cool.
Yeah.
And Optimus just like, you shut that mouth.
Well, yeah, well,
that beautiful, luscious lip mouth of yours that you have, that for some reason you have this episode.
Ironhide's more the one that's angry at them. Optimus is still giving them the benefit of the doubt where he says, you know, they were only created a few weeks ago. They'll understand. But you bring up a good point too, Elsa, that this is a Toei episode, but for some reason, a lot of the... mostly the Autobots, they have very full lips.
I don't know why.
They all had cyber fillers.
Okay, but let me tell you something. Slingshot has his hair back. Or at least it's not wait, orange all the way.
That'd be so weird to transfer with hair.
Ooh. Well, wait for season 3.
No.
Wait for this episode.
No.
Oh, yeah.
So Teletran 1 is picking up a huge energy reading on Cybertron, which sets Optimus into action, and they board Omega Supreme, and the aerial bots join them, and they fly to Cybertron. Once again, Omega Supreme complaining about his energy supply, but he gets them there. And then we go back to the Decepticon headquarters, and Megatron, he's feeling some kind of way about the aerial bots. He's really bothered by their ability to fly. He's like, hey, that's our thing.
Even though two can already do it.
They stole it.
Yeah. And Sideswipe.
Tracks.
Yeah. Okay. That's four.
Tracks, Omega.
Five.
Power Glide. Cosmos.
Six.
Jetfire. Skyfire, whoever.
Okay, so there's Power Glide, Skyfire, Tracks, Sideswipe, Omega Supreme, and Cosmos. That's like more than a combiner team. You're fine.
Yeah. So Soundwave checks in that the Autobots are heading to Cybertron, and Megatron gets worried that they may disturb Shockwave's work on the Chronosphere. So the Decepticons head to Cybertron as well via the space bridge. And Starscream asks Megatron what the Chronosphere is. And he says, it's a time machine. He's very proud of it. Now, Megatron's plan with the time machine, he wants to go back in time to steal the Abundant Energon. Huh? He's like, that's all he wants to do?
He doesn't want to change the course of the war? He doesn't want to...
He doesn't want to make himself win?
Yeah, Beast Wars Megatron had the better idea. Just take out the guys in the past, and then you don't have to worry about it anymore. So the Aerobots are flying around Cybertron. They're attacked by the Seekers again. And even then, they're like, well, I don't know if we want to fight them. The only one that knows what's up is Silverbolt. He's like, guys, snap out of it.
They're not
good guys. They're literally firing at you.
Me and a group project.
Right. And they even say, like, why does Optimus Prime think you're evil? And Silverbolt's like,
what?
Facepalm. Yeah. Starscream, who's sensing the opportunity, he's like, oh, the Decepticons are a swell bunch, and we have fun.
This is like offering a kid
we have
to
candy.
Be part of your friend group, like, we eat all the candy we want, and don't have a bedtime.
I see.
We don't brush our teeth either.
What?
So Starscream, with his promise of fun, lure the aerial bots into this really broken down base. But now we see the Chronosphere. But before that, we see Megatron shrouded in shadow. The aerial bots step on this obvious trap. Megatron wants to send them to the beginning of time.
What?
They go flying in a big pink bubble, Glenda the Good Witch style. To fates unknown, and the Autobots break through the wall. Optimus' not so great plan is to get them back by destroying the Chronosphere.
Hold on, wait a minute.
But yeah. For all we know, that's gonna trap them.
Right.
What about,
obviously.
Yeah, how do they know they can repair it? Plus, there are several buttons.
He has a lot of faith in Wheeljack and Ratchet this episode. Good thing they came along. So Optimus, he's betting that the destroyed Chronosphere will just cause the aerial bots to drop out of the time stream.
That does not make sense at all.
And there's like one little light blinking on the device still that tells Optimus that they have gone 9 million years back into the past of Cybertron. And that's where we get to Commercial One. So, yeah, Optimus puts the other Autobots to work to repair it as much as possible to get them back. Did you notice that Optimus's voice sounds lower in the scene?
Yeah, kinda.
No, it's just overall lower, and there's a few scenes with Megatron, too, that he sounds oddly lower. Like, they pitched the effect down a little more. I don't know what was going on with that. Now, we are back in the Golden Age of Cybertron, which is cool because it looks different.
It's golden.
It is golden, but yeah, I do admire that they made some new paintings so that we can differentiate, because this episode does hop back and forth from past to present quite a lot. And the aerial bots are just strolling along. They're not really freaked out that they've been sent back 9 million years, but they're strolling down the streets, and they meet a new character.
New?
We meet Orion Pax.
Whoa. Who's that?
we will find out later.
Oh, of course.
But I kind of know who he's going to be. And the one thing I was not expecting was his voice.
All of their voices.
Yeah. You kids don't know, but Matt Gourley, he does an impersonation of Irvin Kershner, the director of Empire Strikes Back. And to me, it sounded the same. He has sort of like a... he's sort of like a New Yorker.
Yes.
You know, oh, we were...
Pitch it up, it's Peter Griffin.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. He's explaining to the Aerobites, like, oh, we unload the energy shipments from the power plant upriver. So he's just kind of a normal worker. He has a familiar color scheme. We meet Dion, his best friend, and then we meet Ariel, his girlfriend. The Aerobots see the Decepticons fly over. Now, this is the Decepticons of the past, so Megatron doesn't recognize who these guys are or anything. Dion and Orion, I think, they say, oh, don't worry about it. The Guardian robots will be able to take care of the battle.
The who?
And as Orion is working, he's kind of guiding in a ship on the river. Megatron very politely introduces himself. He shakes hands. He says, hello there. I'm Megatron. What's your name?
Oh, I'm Orion. I'm Pax. Oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. And Megatron takes Orion out and shows him these really cool purple and green Decepticon trucks.
Yeah.
Now, they're not drones. He actually calls them Decepticons. So our drones lower class.
Decepticon drones?
It doesn't quite apply because he calls them Decepticons and they transform.
The boxes just
Yeah,
unfold.
The boxes transform too. I think these guys are kind of cool. Ah, here's the thing. Here's the thing. They have faces. Almost none of the other drone-type robots we see on Cybertron, they usually have like one eye or they have just like a dome. But these have faces. So is that the only requirement? Faces make them not drones. I'm going to just add this to my ongoing thesis. I'm doing research. But Megatron has them transform and they're out to steal the bountiful Energon cubes. And he shoots Orion Pax.
Who flies?
Yeah, then Orion does this kind of like Kamen Rider jump. Which they're so jealous of these Decepticons being able to fly, but he even gets the Millennium Falcon sound effect. And he comes back down, and Megatron very nonchalantly just raises his cannon and shoots him again, right through the chest.
Ooh, that gotta hit a spark.
And there goes Dion.
Yeah, Dion is shot as well.
Die.
The Aerobots find them. I laughed at this. Silverbolt cradles Orion Pax, and he's like, Orion, speak to me. And then he kind of moves Orion's head, kind of like a ventriloquist. I'm okay, Silverbolt. But he's not.
No, he's not. He's pretty much dead.
His head lifelessly tilts to the side, and we go into commercial 2. We're back in the present, because we see that Cybertron is a constant nighttime, rubble-filled...
It's dense enough to be its own star.
Shell of its former self, yeah. And among that rubble is a headless Guardian robot who looks a lot like Omega Supreme, but he doesn't have a head. And Megatron says, you don't need a head, just a good, strong body. He orders Shockwave to start analyzing it to hopefully begin repairs. And then we go back to the past, and the Aerobots are carrying Orion. Did we see Ariel get shot? Yes, we did.
Yeah.
We forgot to mention that. And then we find sort of familiar sight. We see Alpha Trion.
But he's younger.
He's younger.
Sounds the same as the rest of the people.
Yeah. They all have very youthful voices. Kind of like before the horrors of war. They're just leading innocent lives. Alpha Trion does not have his beard.
It would have been cool if his mustache... He still has his mustache.
Yeah, very clean.
It'd be cool if it wasn't white. Like, if it was, like, a dark red or something.
He's still using Just for Men. So Alpha Trion is talking to these total strangers to him that he is developing a way to rebuild robots. And he goes into his workshop, and there's a lot of damaged ones. He's trying to find a way to rebuild them in order to fight the Decepticons. he analyzes Orion and notices that he has a strong spirit. So then he picks him up and takes him inside. Then we go to the Decepticons. And the Guardian robots show up, and
they're rather chunky.
Well, yeah, they're clearly modeled off of Omega Supreme, but they have the body type of animated Bulkhead, just very round with very stumpy legs
and wobbly.
Yeah,
he needs bigger arms.
Uh huh. We go back to Alpha Trion, who's already done, and he debuts Optimus Prime, the first of the new Defenders.
You see, I knew who Orion Pax was, but I didn't really know what he did to the, like, the lore.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, now I know. I forgot. I totally forgot.
Yeah, yeah, he becomes Optimus Prime, and then...
And his voice changes, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks for a sick upgrade.
And then Alpha Trion has his droids go get Ariel, and he says, oh, female warrior. I think I'll... The first one, I think I'll call her Elita One. But Dion is left to die.
Or
die.
Okay, go ahead.
Hear me out. Since Orion Pax was rebuilt as Optimus, and we hear Ultra Magnus referred to as an old friend, perhaps he is Dion.
I've heard of this. I did look up any official sources, and from what I could see, that's just a fan theory. It's a good one.
But it's a fan theory in the G1 continuity, because in some other form of media, there was another bot named Magnum. Dion and Magnum got injured. Optimus was talking to Alpha Trion, and only one of them could be saved. So, using the spare parts from the other, they got the upgrade. But we don't know who it is, so that it may refer to Dion being Ultra Magnus in G1.
I think that was in a BotCon comic or something.
Yeah, because he was based off of the Hotshot mold, yeah. Dion.
During the battle of the Decepticons and the Guardian Robots, Optimus shows up. Megatron takes a few shots, and his cannon has no effect on him. Optimus is at full power here, and he just tears through the Decepticon truck fighters, just blast holes right through them. Then we go back to the present, and the Chronosphere is fixed. And Wheeljack says that they'll be back in 2 minutes.
Oh, okay.
But then the Decepticons intervene and the headless Guardian robot shows up, which is kind of cool. Kind of, I don't know, like uncontrolled monster. It's a cool little detail in this episode, I think. Going back to the past, Slingshot, now kind of completely fed up with the Decepticons, he sees that they're the bad guys, finally.
Okay, fine. They're bad.
They shoot the fuel reserves, and right before it's about to explode, the aerial bots are transported back into the present. And kind of a cool transition, we see that where the fuel reserves blew up in the past is actually where everybody's fighting now. It dissolves into the current ruins of Cybertron.
Nice.
And just in time, the aerial bots show up in the present to help the Autobots fight the Guardian robot. They form Superion, which looks really cool. So you get another big robot fight. The Guardian robot is destroyed. Megatron flees. And as he flees Slingshot, he screams at him. Like, you'll never get away from us, Megatron. We won't stop fighting till you're finished. You hear? So, it took traveling back 9 million years for the aerial bots to see that, you know, they're actually the good guys and the Decepticons are the bad guys. But then, going back to explaining the time travel, Silverbolt says, oh, Optimus, or should I say Orion? And Optimus is like, oh, yeah, it was you guys that helped me out in the past. So the aerial bots had to go back in time to save Orion. It's like a Terminator 1 time loop. Like, you have to go back and to trigger an event that will pay off in the present. So that the thing in the present and then the future has to go back into the past and kind of keep it going. And they walk away. with Optimus recalling the story. He says, well, it all began 9 million years ago. And Ratchet complains, oh great, it's going to be one of those long stories. And that's it. That's the end of Wardon. Who wants to go first?
Me.
Okay.
It was an 8 out of 10. It was really good. It was quick. It does introduce a lot of stuff. But some things are iffy about continuity.
No, that's why we're only paying attention to this continuity.
Yep. But I do like it. It's a solid episode. Not like, wow, it's amazing. But yeah, pretty good episode. 8 out of 10.
Elsa?
7 out of 10. It's good. I like it.
Okay. I'll go 7.5. I thought it was cool showing the origins of Orion Pax and a little bit of their of his normal life. You know, he's just like a dock worker.
Yeah,
and
he's just
got
a guy.
He's got a girlfriend and a best friend and things are kind of cool. I like how it suggests that things on Cybertron are getting worse. You know, there's like, oh, maybe battles and, you know, they're preparing for maybe a greater war. So that was kind of cool. The time travel gimmick with the aerial bots was a lot to get them to realize that Megatron's a villain. But yeah, it packed a lot into the episode, which I really like when they go for it and just like fill it with a bunch of stuff. The Guardian robots are a cool touch. The Decepticon drones are cool. Even Dion, poor Dion, who may or
always
may not
there,
be still
Dion.
Alive. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. Yeah, this is a pretty good episode. Well, thanks for listening, everybody, and we hope that you'll come back and listen to us next week on an all-new One More Prime. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.